Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT. Bandwidth for Tech News Today is provided by CashFly at CacheFly.com.
This is Tech News Today for Wednesday, June 30th, 2010. Tech News Today is brought to you by Slingbox. Watch your favorite TV shows when you're away from home with Slingbox. Find an in-store demo at a Best Buy near you, visiting slingbox.com. And by Carbonite. Back up the files on your PC or Mac safely and easily with Carbonite. For a free trial plus 2 free months of purchase, go to carbonite.com and use the offer code TNT. Welcome to Tech News Today. I'm Tom Merritt.
I'm Sarah Lane.
And behind the board is our excellent producer, Eric Lanigan. Hey, Eric.
Hey, guys. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you for asking.
Just okay.
Just What's wrong?
Well,
are you sad?
Something died today.
The Kin.
Microsoft Kin is dead, Tom.
Yeah. Disappointing sales have led Microsoft to cancel the Kin mobile phone. It barely arrived. I'm not even sick of the commercials yet.
I was sick of the commercial right away because I couldn't figure out why I would want this thing. And apparently nobody else could either.
They only gave it a month. That's not that crazy.
Long.
Yeah.
Like arrested development.
The decision was announced internally today by Andy Lees, the head of Microsoft's mobile division. Gizmodo and Gadget reported the news a little while before we started off here, and I have to credit the chat room. Several people pointed it out to us, so we were able to stick it in the lineup here. It doesn't seem that they really tried.
A month? That's crazy.
Yeah.
Well, you figure that this is one of those products that they go, listen, we've put so much R&D into this, let's roll it out, maybe it'll be a hit that we don't even, we're not even expecting. And I mean, there's no way that the Kin was going to be a big deal in this landscape.
Well, and everybody wondered, why are they coming out with another operating system based phone that's not Windows Mobile or Windows Phone 7? And they are now saying that they've decided to focus exclusively on Windows Phone 7.
The weird thing about the Kin commercials is that they really, I mean, you think you go like, okay, well, who would want the Kin? It's like a child's toy. It's like a great little phone for like a tween, right?
Yeah, yeah.
But they're not showing tweens in the commercials because they want to make it available for people who have the kind of disposable income to buy the phone. I thought that the whole thing was marketed strangely from the beginning.
Well, I always felt like the reason they were showing college-age kids using it is because the tweens want to be treated like college-age
kids.
And they want to feel like they're cool like the college kids.
Right.
So that was kind of the psychology.
And sometimes that works.
Yeah.
I just don't think it worked in this case. Nobody's interested.
What also doesn't seem to be working is Google's way of getting around the Chinese requirement for censorship. We talked yesterday about how they've changed the Google.cn page to not redirect to Google Hong Kong, but to just have a link to Google Hong Kong.
So it's just sort of an extra step for anybody who's trying to search something that's not restricted.
Right. And they thought maybe this would satisfy China, which had said they were going to lose their license to run the website. And today is the day that their license expires. So far, haven't heard anything from China.
China's like, we just don't know yet.
Google is now partially blocked.
Right. So it's not good for Google. Obviously, the whole thing is kind of like, I mean, I felt like the Google fix was a little silly anyway. Okay, well, we're not going to redirect, but we will send you to a page so that you can redirect. That seems like a strange Band-Aid sort of solution.
So, yeah, now when you go to the page and click on the Google.hk and get Google Hong Kong, it's blocking suggested search.
Right, because they don't want you to search for something, even if you weren't searching for one of the words that Shannon doesn't want you to search for.
I wasn't trying to spell Tiananmen.
No, I was trying to spell
something that
Tiara.
Yes, there we go. Good.
Tiananmen, what's that? Maybe I'll click on it.
Tiananmen, I hardly knew her.
That's what she said.
Worth spending some time with today is Anantech's very thorough review of the Apple iPhone 4 antenna. If you at all want to understand what's going on with that thing, read this story by Brian Klug and Anand Lai Shimpi. And I apologize because I know I'm not saying those right, and they've been said right. But these guys are one of them is the founder of Enantech, and they went out and tested the iPhone 4 antenna, the iPhone 3GS antenna, and the Nexus One antenna thoroughly in different places, holding it in different ways, and essentially showed that, yeah, there is definitely an effect of holding it in your hand. They've got the average decibel level change, and when you're cupping the iPhone 4 tightly, it drops 24.6 decibels. Now, the other two things you're going to learn from reading this article are, you know, we mentioned this from a phone call yesterday about how 5 bars does not mean that you have 100%. Yeah. 5 bars actually means you have up to 60%. And so, and what they pointed out in this Enantech article is if you're really close to the tower and you cup it hard, you still drop 24 decibels because they hacked the phone to show them the exact decibel
drop.
But
that might be 24 better than where you are in your living room.
Well, the first bar goes from negative 91 to negative 51. So you could drop 26 and the bar not move. And so you'd be like, hey, I'm not having a problem. But your reception is actually changing.
So this makes sense, but this is very hard to explain to the general public how decibels work and you know, what a bar actually means and, you know, how does that get related to everybody when everyone's going, the iPhone 4, it's a fatal flaw. It was built badly. It's a lemon.
Well, what they're saying is that it's not a lemon. That this is, you know, that this is a bad thing, that it drops that much signal when you're cupping it tightly. It drops a little less signal when you're holding it. There's definitely an effect of holding the 3GS and the Nexus One as well.
Right.
But what they pointed out is that the antenna is actually so much more sensitive that you can still carry on a call or maintain a data connection at negative 113, which is almost beyond the limit of what you can do. So even if you're cupping it tightly and it's dropped way down to one bar, they said they were able to maintain connections where the 3GS, even without the negative 113 signal, would just drop the call.
Well, that's fine for an Enantech, but then why is everyone else having dropped calls?
Well, you do have dropped calls, obviously, if you're in an area that you know, just doesn't have any signal at all,
right,
or has just enough signal that you're killing the rest of it.
Sure.
So it's going to happen. What they're saying is it's not actually happening as often with the iPhone 4 as the 3GS. It's just that you can have a bigger effect on it. So people are noticing that effect, but in essence, there are fewer dropped calls because the sensitivity of the antenna is good. And I think Engadget put it best. iPhone 4 antenna problem looks worse than it is, but it's still bad.
Okay.
I find this, you know, really, really good reporting. And so if you really want to understand this, check it out. Basically what Enantech says is Apple needs to either put a coating on that antenna so that it prevents conductivity between your hand and the antenna, or give people bumpers. Don't charge them $29 for the bumpers.
Which, okay, so $30 bumper. I mean, you and I both have them. I mean, they work fine, but they're little pieces of plastic. It's not worth $30. Maybe $10.
Well, I never use the pink one.
You've got a pink one, though, should you choose to not have drop calls.
Right? I haven't had any drop calls.
But apparently, what's great is that Apple customer service reps are being instructed not to give away bumpers because that suggests guilt.
Yes. Boy Genius Report has a leaked internal document on how to handle somebody who's complaining about the dropped calls. Basically, you know, tell them that any mobile phone will reduce its reception, to which I say print out the Enantech article and show them exactly why the iPhone 4 has bigger decibel drops than the other ones, even though they all do. iPhone 4's wireless performance is the best they've ever shipped. That part is absolutely true. If you're experiencing this on your iPhone 3GS, avoid covering the bottom right side. So in other words, show them how to hold it properly.
Mm-hmm.
And then advise that a bumper might help, but
don't offer the bumper. Make them pay.
All caps in bold. Maybe Boy Genius Report added that. We don't know.
We are not appeasing customers with free bumpers.
Boy Geniuses.
Don't promise a free bumper to customers.
But I love that because that implies that that's what has been happening. Stop doing that. We want to sell as many bumpers as possible. Full
and also,
price.
Engadget reporting that the Apple jobs page has 3 antenna engineers up for hire, which, you know, could be just an unlucky coincidence, but it is pretty oddly timed that these postings went up on June 23rd. the exact day people started complaining about the dropped calls when you're holding it left-handed. Don't make calls left-handed.
What if you only have one hand, Tom?
Get a second replacement hand.
Get a fin.
Get a bumper.
Yeah.
Yeah. Get a fin. Fin won't help you. Sony is recalling. Well, they're not recalling. Sony is advising. Well, they're giving you a download. Sony says 500,000 laptops have a heat risk and you can fix it.
Right. So it's not really a recall. It's been called a recall, not by Sony.
No.
So a certain amount of VIOs, a certain model of VIOs, right? If I understand this correctly.
Yes.
Have heat issues that can affect the shape of the computer, and there's enough heat that even though there haven't been any reports of people getting burned, could be a problem.
The American Consumer Product Safety Commission said the computers can overheat, posing a burn hazard, and so they should issue a recall. Sony said, no, there's no need for a recall. It's the software that manages the temperature of the processor that's the problem. We've got to fix. You download the firmware. You upgrade it. You're fine. If you don't feel comfortable doing that.
If you're a grandma mod, you can send the computer in your VIO, your pink VIO mod, and get it back. And it's not a problem. The thing is that that's not really a recall. That's just a, hey, there's a little issue and we're willing to fix it. But Sony has had recall issues in the past.
Yes.
That are
with
been
exploding
heat related.
Batteries. Yeah.
So
batteries that catch on fire.
You can see, you know, where a consumer advocacy group would be like, wait a second, Sony, it's just this again, and you're going to burn somebody's lap, and let's get these things out of here.
Sony says 260,000 laptops in the U.S. are affected, 103,000 in Europe, 120,000 in Southeast Asia, and 50,000 in Japan. And you can update the firmware online. So if you think you might have one of these, go to Sony.com, check it out, find out if it's your laptop. It's Sony VAIO's F and C series laptops sold since the start of 2010.
Right.
If you don't qualify there, you don't even have to bother going and checking.
And if you live somewhere really cold, this might be a great thing.
Exactly.
If you don't mind a little warping on the unit itself.
All right. This podcast is brought to you by Slingbox. We mentioned at the beginning of the show, Slingbox allows you to watch your TV anywhere you go. I've been telling you about it. So I know some of you have checked it out and you understand that all you do is plug it into your television and your internet and you get the TV that you watch on your iPhone, on your BlackBerry, on your MacBook, on your ThinkPad, on your Android mobile phone. They just added Android. So if you're one of those Android enthusiasts who's like, I don't want to do this on my iPhone, I don't want to have an iPhone, you don't have to. You can do it on an Android now, and you can watch all the TV that you have at home, anything on your DVR, anything you get over the air, any pay channels like HBO and Showtime that you get. There's no extra fee for it. You just hook it up, and you watch it over the internet wherever you have an internet connection, anywhere in the world. Go to Best Buy, purchase Slingbox, bring it home, hook it up. If you want to get an in-store demo to see how this works, if you're like, you know what, Tom, your strange long words confuse me, I need to see it in action, go to a Best Buy near you or visit slingbox.com to find out where you can have a demonstration.
Sometimes I can't speak your crazy moon language.
Yes. Anything over three syllables, I confuse myself. I don't even know what I'm saying.
I like your Slingbox ads. I think you're very convincing.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, I actually have a Slingbox.
So exactly. Well, I think that's part
so
of the thing.
I've gotten five in-store demos because of you.
He just keeps going back. You know, I think I'll do this again.
I never understand Tom, but he gets me into the store.
Yes. Speaking of demonstrations, lots of people are demonstrating against the mass BitTorrent lawsuits. Or at least they should be. They probably aren't. But the U.S. Copyright Group is under assault from the Electronic Frontier Foundation, the ACLU, Public Citizen, and a few other groups who are asking the court to require them to sue people individually instead of all in a big group of 15,000 users.
Which would require many more hours of lawyers, which would require a lot more money.
It would actually have to spend $350 per IP address just to refile individual cases.
So that could be good for anyone who has illegally downloaded, who is actually guilty of what they're being accused of, or anyone else who
it's good
has,
for anybody has who's been, the, whether they're guilty or not. I think.
Well, yeah, that was going to be my B. The not guilty people who have been accused of this that have been lumped in with
right,
people
okay.
who have actually
yes.
done something wrong, because if it's just you against them, you're not, I mean, collectively, that seems really unfair because there are all sorts of degrees of what somebody may have done or not done, and you're all in one place. And
the lawsuit's filed in D.C., the District of Columbia. And so if you're not near D.C., it becomes more difficult for you to fight it. You might be more likely to settle out of court because it's just too costly and too much of a hassle.
Gotta fly to D.C.
Even if you're not guilty.
Right.
So that's the point of the EFF. They're saying, look, if you're going to go after people for this, you have to go after them in the area where they are, and you have to go after them individually. It's a whole lot easier to just throw a bunch of IP addresses and a bunch of John Does in the court record and then try to figure out who they are and go after them than it is to say, okay, I'm going to file a case against this John Doe, and now I have to figure out this person, and then I have to go to court in Seattle or San Francisco or Dallas or wherever the closest federal court happens to be. And so really what this decision will be is whether U.S. Copyright Group can continue to pursue people or not.
Well, you would think that, I mean, they've got to have enough information to at least have gone after these people in the first place, right? If you can't lump them all in together.
All they know is a list of IP addresses that were given them by Gardelay IT.
I was going to say, well, maybe they dropped the ones who seem like less likely to lose
well, when
against
them. When the RIA ran into this.
But if they don't know.
Because the RIA was trying to do this, and the court said, no, you have to go after people individually. They stopped that, and they went after a few people. Jamie Thomas is one of the most famous.
Right.
But they have ended up stopping that
and going
after the websites instead. So I get the feeling that U.S. Copyright Group is kind of a money-making organization. Like, they're in this to make some legal fees. And if this turns out to be too costly at $350 a pop just to get an IP address suit filed, they will stop this.
Well, if you're not guilty and you're part of the suit, don't settle. Don't settle for anything less than
the best bargains you can find, like you find at Woot. Now, there's just no transition here. Woot got bought by Amazon. That's the story.
Woot.
They
got bought.
There's some transition in there somewhere. But yeah, so if you don't know Woot, Woot gives like amazing deals on really cool stuff every day. You just go and you find out like what's the deal of the day at Woot. And they have now been purchased by Amazon.
Not surprising. Amazon, it's like the perfect...
Well, they've bought Audible, Zappos, Woot. They go out and they find these really good brands that fit into what they do in some way.
It's perfect.
They buy them. And I was a little worried about Zappos when Amazon bought them. Not that I don't think Amazon's a good company, but I was a little worried about, you know, them changing the culture of Zappos. But so far, they have not done that at all.
And I can see the whole premise of Woot. This is today's cool thing. You can do that from within Amazon, but not necessarily going to be exactly the same as it is now, but I don't see it having to change.
Do you think that they will integrate Woot more than they did Zappos? That they'll say, you know, we want to make Woot part of Amazon, like have a Woot thing on the Amazon homepage?
I would think so. I mean, why have a separate kind of domain? It seems like it would be the perfect integration, actually, because it's sort of like Woot, Amazon deal kind of thing.
And Woot does anything. It started off as kind of a geek thing because they'd have a lot of like USB sticks.
That's what I remember it as. I've actually never bought anything.
Apparently, I didn't realize this, but the TechCrunch story says they did handguns at one point. So they branch out.
When you buy a handgun on Woot, do you have like a 30-day waiting?
I think the waiting period just happens while it's being shipped to you.
It's interesting. So Amazon is buying icons of internet culture. Of companies like Zappos and Woot that they could have just ripped off their business models very easily, but they went after the ones that were respected amongst geeks.
And I think that
they also get the people.
It's a point well made, which is you think, oh, well, we could do a Woot thing, but it won't be Woot.
Right.
Everyone will say, it's a ripoff of Woot. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to continue to go to Woot. And Woot has the quirky sense of humor and how they write. And you can't rip that off. And Amazon's smart enough to notice, like, you know what? Instead of doing a cheap knockoff, let's spend the money and get the real thing and actually, you know, incorporate it into our family.
Exactly. And if they don't screw it up.
I hate it when people call corporations family.
Family.
I just did that.
So do they have to keep it autonomous like this? Or else if they tried to integrate it, wouldn't they lose what makes Woot Woot?
I feel like they could integrate Woot. They could have a little Woot box or something and still keep the sense of it.
Yeah. It can just be a fun... I mean, Amazon's got featured items every day. There could be some sort of Woot item. I don't know. I don't think it's a... I think it could be pulled off well.
They could have had a better deal today, though.
What is it?
They've had some great deals, and so now everybody's going to be looking at Woot. iPod Nano, 8 gigabyte, 5th generation for $100.
They even tell you last version.
Or no. Yeah. Oh, wait. Latest version of the iPod Nano.
Woot, there it is.
Oop.
Yeah. Oh, well. They'll have a better one tomorrow. Hulu CEO Jason Kilar was asked, hey, so should people cancel their cable and sign up for that $10 a month Hulu thing? And he looked around nervously and said, no.
Absolutely not.
Do not do that.
Do not cancel your Comcast subscription. We need them.
No, because
they're essential to our business.
Hulu's network owners, GE, NBC News Corp, I guess to become Comcast soon, Fox and Disney's ABC, all have cable networks.
Right.
So they are not wanting Hulu to replace anything. That's one of the problems. That's why you look at Hulu and you're like, why can't it do this? Why can't it do that?
Why does it operate this way? Why are they the only three, you know?
It's coldly calculated.
It's coldly calculated, and yet you can't help but go. I mean, my first reaction was, okay, well, Hulu is, it is restricted. There's only certain things you can get on Hulu, and I can only get certain things on Netflix, and only certain things I can get on iTunes. But collectively, if I'm spending money on all those, am I still coming out ahead? And what is my experience like? And, you know, because the last thing I want to do, the problem that I've always had, and we've talked about this before with the getting a cable package is I'm just paying for a lot of stuff I don't need. So if I can drill it down and even like get rid of the access I have to these garbage shows that I watch just because they're there that I'd rather not even have access to, do I come out ahead financially and, you know, time-wise?
It's the classic case of the audience, the consumer, the general populace wants to do X and the business model hasn't caught up. And so they're trying to get them to do Y. And it's going to be weird until things finally converge at the end and they give up and realize, no, what people want Hulu for is to get rid of cable.
Right.
And it's going to be painful years before they actually get to that point.
Right. Because if somebody, you know, a content production company goes straight to Hulu, I mean, it's, there is no leapfrogging going on right now. It just doesn't work that way. The model is so, it's, I mean, it's been building this way for so long.
Well, yeah, all of these shows that are
like
on
Hulu's
the network.
Hulu's not even going to be receptive to anything like that.
Hulu themselves actually would love to have all this stuff, but their owners, the people who back them are like, heck no, we are not going to undermine any other business we have, whether it's on-air broadcast, DVD sales, syndication. We're going to use Hulu only to promote to those areas. And so this $10 a month is a way to kind of take a tiny baby step into the idea of Hulu being a destination that we all know it is, but they just don't, they're not comfortable admitting that it is.
I mean, to give us a little perspective in terms of money, did you guys talk yesterday about Modern Family? Fox sold Modern Family, which is an ABC show, to USA Network, which is NBC Universal, for $1.5 million per ep.
Yeah.
So, I mean,
that's what they need to get back from
exactly.
Hulu.
Exactly.
And they can. And the potential's there, right?
The potential's there, but not today.
Yeah.
Not right now.
And by the way, if you're a PS3 user and you're all excited about Hulu's Hulu Plus coming to your platform before the Xbox 360, you will have to be a PlayStation Plus subscriber in order to pay, to have the privilege to pay the $10 for Hulu Plus. But that's similar to Netflix. You have to pay to get Netflix, and to get it on your Xbox 360, you have to pay for Xbox Live. So a little clarification there. About 12, I was going to say 3 quarters ago, but nobody thinks in quarters. So about months ago.
45 minutes ago.
YouTube and advertising conceived a fabulous idea, and 9 months later, they're giving birth to skippable ads.
they're almost letting you. Yeah, I mean, that's a great birth.
Yeah.
If that's the only birth I have to go through is to skip an ad I don't like, I'm into it. Tell me
actually,
more.
The skippable ads are coming later this year, according to Baljeet Singh, a senior product manager at Google. But what it'll do is when the ad starts playing, after a couple of seconds, you'll get to click on something that says, no, I'm tired of this ad. I don't like it.
Which is the best thing ever because certain ads, we're talking about like pre-roll ads, right?
Yeah.
Ads that you can't get past. That
come
you go,
before the video.
I've seen this one. I hate it. You know, you've got this visceral reaction to this horrible ad. You can choose to skip it. And then the advertisers won't get charged to run. So it's kind of like the advertisers get, they don't have to pay. I'm sorry. They won't get charged. So what it inspires advertisers to do is make really good ads.
Yeah. If you want your ads to be seen, you got to make an ad that people won't skip. And they've been trying this out and found that skip rates vary dramatically based on the quality of the ads. It's exactly what they wanted to happen. is that people will in fact watch an ad if it's good enough, even if you give them a chance to skip it.
See, I don't know that I fit so much into the demographic that they're talking about because I hate all pre-roll ads.
I bet you skip fewer ads than you would guess that you skip, though.
Well, I don't skip any of them right now.
Well, no, but I mean, if you were once you have this power, I bet there'll be ads where you'll say, "Oh, you know what? This is entertaining." You just won't even think about it.
Yeah,
you'll just let it go. There'll be ads that'll be annoying, and you will seek out that
sure.
button to skip.
I can think of a few now without pissing off anybody who may one day advertise for the Twit Network. But
yeah, but you wouldn't skip that ad that Leo showed today, the new Old Spice ad, because you see it and it's like, whoa, I want to see what they're doing there.
Sure, well, that's the whole thing too. I mean, it's the Super Bowl ads, the ads that people go, oh, this is a good one. I've heard about this. I like this ad. This is funny. It's going to be funnier the third time. I've seen it a couple times. So, you know, it's inspiring advertisers to pay more.
And there's also the idea that sometimes you need the ad because you get like, oh, wait, hold, you know, you're like, oh, good, the ad's playing. I'll get back to you in a second. I got to watch this video.
That's kind of true.
You know, sometimes
the really annoying 30-second ads, I get a lot done.
Yeah.
Before I have to sit
Let me check
down.
A couple emails while I wait for that.
Yeah.
YouTube also explaining the benefits of Flash over HTML5 in an excellent write-up on their blog, on their API blog. This is a very, again, good reading here if you want to understand the difference between HTML5 and Flash. They talk about how there isn't a standard video format for HTML5 yet, and that's one benefit of Flash. How there's more robust video streaming because you can target into the video at a particular point. HTML5 doesn't support that. Content protection, embedding, full screen video, camera and microphone access, all things that are benefits of Flash. But it's not trashing HTML5. It actually,
no.
In each one of these, it says, and this is where HTML5 is going and how they could start to address these problems.
Yeah, it was a great read because not only did, you know, full screen video, it's something that, of course, with great HD quality style videos, you want to be able to go full screen. Well, with the Flash player, it's a really easy little toggle button.
Right.
You know, with
HTML5.
HTML
has no support for that.
Exactly. I mean, it's kind of like, hey, if you could do that with HTML5, it would be a great solution. It isn't right now. And as an end user, this is something that you want, right?
Well, and this made me think when I was reading this morning, we forget that HTML5 is not a thing. It's the language that the web is written in.
The video tag.
It's the fifth version of HTML.
Right.
The video tag is just one element of HTML5. There was HTML 3.2, and then there was HTML 4, and now there's HTML 5. Mm-hmm. And it's comparing apples and oranges.
It totally is.
And I was trying to think, okay, back in 1996, when I was using HTML 3.2, what was the equivalent of Adobe Flash? And the closest I could come was Java applets, where with HTML 3.2, you didn't have really a whole lot of control over the elements on a page and how they looked and where they laid out. So you could use Java applets to do some things that HTML 3.2 wouldn't allow you to do. And that's what Flash is. Flash is a plugin that allows you to do some things that HTML didn't allow you to do. Mm-hmm. HTML5, the new version, allows you to do more of those things than HTML4 did.
But not Flash level.
But it's
for video.
But yeah, it's still not exactly the same thing. And we still use Java applets for things, but we don't use them as much because HTML has grown up. And I think that will happen as we get to HTML 6 and HTML 7. That it will start to do more.
HTML 13.
Because HTML was meant, it was based on SGML. It was meant to be a markup language, kind of like for making things, you know, look interesting in text. And we're slowly molding it to be this multimedia language. It's not even based on SGML anymore in HTML 5. So it's a totally different, they're totally different things.
They're apples and oranges. You just kind of got worked up just now.
I do. I get a little worked up.
Deep breaths.
So Tom is super cool usually.
Yeah.
I saw some blood pressure rising physically.
My doctors warned me about talking about HTML5.
This is good. This is good.
All right. Well, you know what else is good? Visiting porn sites because you're less likely to get malware.
Now, how could that be?
A study by Avast, they make the free antivirus software, found 99 infected legitimate domains for every infected adult website.
So this is the sort of study that goes, don't blame Grandma did not go and visit xxx.xxx, and that's why her computer is borked. she probably went to a lot of other places.
She may have gone or may have not, but that is not necessarily like
that is not
the idea that, oh, you visit a lot of like nasty adult sites and that's why you get the viruses. No, you could be going. The example they use is Vodafone. There was a malicious JavaScript redirect on a Vodafone UK subsite that was taking advantage of an unpatched Windows Help and Support Center flaw.
Right.
And this is common where these scripts get injected into legitimate websites and you have to be careful. That's why I run NoScript as a Firefox plugin.
So next time somebody is infected, mm-hmm. Has got a real bad malware problem, don't accuse them of the porn. Just tell them to install NoScript.
Their infection did not come from porn.
Probably.
And when you're talking about viruses, you're talking about disaster to your data. And when you're talking about disaster to your data, you're talking about backing up. Because if you're not backed up, you could lose all your data, whether you're visiting Vodafone or porn. And this podcast is brought to you by Carbonite, the leader in online backup. Some of the most common problems you hear about are hard drive failures and viruses, and if you've got Carbonite, you can help protect all those valuable files backed up from your PC or Mac automatically. It's safe. Your files are encrypted before they leave your computer for maximum security. It's easy to use, whether you're a computer novice or a full-fledged techie. You just let it back up. Your files get backed up with a few clicks, and you can access them elsewhere. It's a nice little side advantage. You're backed up, you're secure, and you can access files from your phone. From your iPhone, from free apps for your BlackBerry. So unlimited backup for your PC or Mac, $55 a year. That's 15 cents a day. I spent more than that on coffee today.
You spent a lot more, like $3 more than that on coffee.
Exactly. Actually, the espresso machine was broken at Pete's, so I only got a regular coffee. So I spent like $1.85. That's still, how many days of backup is that? Do the math.
Do the math. Carbonite. Sometimes it's good to be backed up.
Try it for free. Carbonite.com. That's math you can do easily. Free. Enter the offer code TNT. If you decide to buy the service, you'll get 2 months free with that offer code TNT. Be sure to sign up for the free trial from the homepage to get the 2 months free. You don't need a credit card to try it. Carbonite.com. Offer code TNT. On to the calendar. Sarah, there's something important coming up this Saturday.
So Saturday is the cutoff day for the Windows Anytime upgrade offer.
That's the one where you don't have to buy a new disk.
Right, exactly. So the idea is if you're using Windows 7 and you're using the Starter Edition, you want to upgrade to Home Premium. Normally it would be $79.99, $80. Now it's $50. Until Saturday, anyway.
Right.
If you're using Home Premium and you want to upgrade Professional, normally $90 down to $80. So, you know, this is money that you can save. If you're looking to do this anyway, then do it in the next 3 days.
And it's nice and easy if you care to upgrade, because all the versions of Windows 7 are on your disk that
right.
you bought.
Yeah.
So you don't have to go buy anything. You just do it
This is not, you don't have to get in your car and do anything by Saturday morning. You just got to keep it in mind that the time is running out.
Yeah. After Saturday, you'll still be able to do the Anytime upgrade. It'll be costlier.
Yeah. You can save yourself $20 or $10 depending on what you're upgrading to. It's always good to save a little cash and buy yourself a latte.
And we also have a rumor of something we should put on the calendar for November 15th.
You have to tell me about this, Tom, because
Boy Genius Report reporting that Verizon will launch their LTE network. That's their 4G network on November 15th.
Ooh, this is exciting indeed.
And then they'll start selling 4G handsets on Black Friday. That's the Friday after Thanksgiving here in the U.S.
Exciting.
So put that on your calendar and smoke it.
Now, does Verizon have the same 4G limitations in certain cities that Sprint does?
4G limitations? You mean just that
certain cities are running 4G for Verizon?
Verizon has a much bigger limitation right now that none of the cities have 4G in them. So on November 15th, I think they're talking about either 25 or 30 cities opening up.
Okay.
So that would put them pretty close to Sprint, but Sprint will have more cities by then. So Sprint will be a bit ahead for a while.
So the 4G situation of it's limited is still going to be an issue, certainly through the end of the year.
Yeah, and 3G is still limited, right? I mean, there are areas in the country that don't have 3G service yet, and they keep rolling it out. And that's going to be the same for 4G. Right. It's going to take a while to get it to cover everything.
Got
Absolutely.
It.
All right, we got a video mail. I like these. You can send them to TNT at twit.tv. This one came from Elliot, referring to the Google social network we talked about the other day.
Hi guys, Elliot here from the UK, also known as L595 in the chat room. I thought I'd just weigh in on the whole Google Me thing. The problem Google has is that as Facebook is so established and has such a large user base, if Google Me is even remotely similar to Facebook, then everyone's just going to say, oh, Google copied Facebook. So for Google Me to be a success, they're going to have to do something completely different, which might not be popular with the mainstream because they're so used to Facebook. Loving the show, guys. Keep up the great work.
So,
number one, love the Bieber hair. More videos like this one.
Excellent, Elliot.
Because you're looking good.
You got Sarah approval on the looks. That's
totally
awesome.
Yeah. And it's just nice to see folks, right?
Yeah.
I love when people send videos in because you go, all right, cool. What about now we know each other.
What about the Google concern there?
What about the Google concern? Well, I think it's a legitimate one because a comparison that I can make, which is, it's not the same, but Google Buzz to me was something that was touted as the new friend feed, which friend feed was actually sold to Facebook and has kind of gone by the wayside. But at one point, it was the best of its type, and Google Buzz is not that, right? Mm-hmm. And Google Buzz from day one, at least in my circles, was, oh, this is friend feed, just not as good. You know, this is the Facebook news page, but just not as good, you know, and it has really dropped off in my usage, my friends' usage. And, you know, Google is not so all powerful that anything it does ends up killing the competition. Facebook is like the best at what it does in a million ways.
But Google,
people have privacy issues with Facebook. Yes.
And Google.
Right. And Google, too. But I don't know. Facebook is... It would be really hard to take down Facebook.
I think if Google was really clever, they've already got so much information about you. If they can do it without really pissing you off, they could create an instant Facebook killer. But it's tricky because they have to use all that information they have in a way that doesn't offend you. And that's the thing that's gotten Facebook and Google in trouble over and over.
Well, and it's tricky also because... To take people away from Facebook, you have to offer something that's different. Different being, you know, in this case, better. But so people like Facebook, they use Facebook. It's something that people, you know, you can't change the Google version of what Facebook is too much. Because if you don't want to be, you know, you've got to compare the two. But it can't, you still have to be offering folks almost the same kind of experience that they already have flocked to. In millions.
I think the only advantage Google has is, and I mentioned this yesterday, is people already using Google, whereas they might have to go to Facebook to use it.
They said that with Buzz too.
Google's
though.
Already there. Yeah, and they screwed that up.
Right.
Exactly. So it's a body on the highway they need to pay attention to.
I'd love for it to be I'd love for this to happen, and I'd love to see what comes out of it. But no, I don't think Google going after the Facebook market is just automatically going to be Google winning because it's so big and everybody still already uses Google.
On to our voicemail from Chris. We talked about Dell's problems with how they handled the leaking capacitors. Chris ran into a batch of these where he was working. We'll let him tell you about it.
Hey, it's Chris, the IT guy from San Francisco. I used to work at a major university. Wisconsin that purchased hundreds of Dell Optiplex GX270 computers with the bulging motherboard problem. We actually had to pull all of them out of production and check to see if there were bulging capacitors, and if there were, we had to have Dell replace them. I was actually working on a machine when it failed, and interestingly enough, when a capacitor bulges and pops, it smokes and smells like popcorn. Thanks. Love the show. Bye.
So we actually got a lot of people writing in saying, yeah, I was using these Dells. A guy from New Zealand said that Dell was really good when they replaced them for them. And other people are like, yeah, we had motherboards and then they gave us bad ones and we had to go through a bunch of batches. But we like this one because of the imagery.
Right. Yeah.
So does this mean I can buy a movie theater style Latitude?
Yes, unintentionally.
Extra butter.
You'll want to watch your Hulu Plus movies on this Dell because it comes with a free popcorn smell once the capacitor blows.
It'll make
you
fat.
You won't be able to finish the movie.
It'll make you fat because everyone knows that when you smell popcorn, then you need to make popcorn.
And then when you smell that popcorn, your computer is now dead and you'll have nothing else to do but eat the popcorn.
And go to the movies.
On to the emails to TNT at twit.tv. First one comes from Kevin.
Kevin says, the news of the Russian spies using Wi-Fi to transmit data finally explains the mystery of why the Google car was recording data from Wi-Fi connections. Obviously, Google has been infiltrated by CIA programmers who are collecting reports from CIA agents who transmit the reports as the car drives by. It also explains Horsehead Boy. Clearly,
what?
This was a reference to Godfather as a way of reporting that a hit had been completed.
No.
Now, where do I put my tinfoil hat? That one's from Kevin. Kevin, you're a big kidder.
No, it would be more like Godfather if we had seen Horse Boy's head.
Right.
Only laying on the side of the
Kevin,
road.
Kevin, your email is almost spot on, except it's not Horse Head Boy. It's Horse Boy. It's the whole body.
It would have been more disturbing to see the severed
head of Horse Boy. Just a mask thrown against the side of the road.
Yeah.
Hey, there's a horse head in front of my house.
Would you freak out if you woke up and there was a fake horse head mask in your bed?
Very much.
Yeah.
More than the Burger King mask guy.
More than a real horse head?
No. Okay. Actually, the real horse head would trump the horse head mask.
Somewhere between.
But probably in those blurry few moments of being out of, you know, dreaming and into the real world, I wouldn't know the difference. So no one ever do that to me.
Yeah, please don't do that.
No. But conspiracy theorists, they're among us, obviously. Kevin, we know you're kidding.
Tim in Edmonton, Alberta, Canada says, I'm the sole IT guy of a medium-sized company, and I was thinking a little bit about the potential store in Windows 8. A lot of my time is spent procuring and installing licensed software, things like Visio and Project. Wouldn't it be great if I could direct my end users to a store where they purchase a license for whatever software they want, and once the order is complete, the software installs automatically? It's not completely inconceivable, providing I can add my own products to the store for my domain. If this was possible, I would be completely removed from the mundane tasks of procuring a license and scheduling it for installation for software that I already manage. That sounds like an IT dream thing, except for job security.
Yeah, Tim, you're writing yourself out of a job here, buddy.
I guess he's the sole IT guy at a medium-sized company, so there's plenty to do.
Basically, Tim is way too busy.
Yeah.
And he's sick of using all his time to be installing stuff that people could just install on their own because he's got bigger fish to fry. And actually, I'm sure a lot of IT workers out there could go, oh, yeah, this would be great. Because, you know, it's like, I mean, you know, there are certain things we have to do in our jobs that if we just had an intern, we wouldn't have to do them.
Exactly. So I think he's got a good point, especially about allowing you to put your own software. There's a lot of software the companies write for themselves. And if Windows 8 had a store that could be managed on the domain for your local enterprise, I could totally see Microsoft doing that. It'll be interesting to see what actually comes of all of this app store talk. Well, that's it for us today. Thanks, everybody, for watching. Of course, you can find us on the web at twit.tv/TNT. You can send us an email, tnt@twit.tv, and give us a call. You never call. 260-TNT-SHOW. Or you could send us a video mail like Elliot
Bieber.
Did.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, Elliot Bieber. You can send that to tnt@twit.tv. Thanks for watching. We'll see you next time.